Well, I enjoy talking about my family. I have four daughters, and I talk about my five girlfriends a lot to people around me. And I guess I have to tell you a bit about my background. In a lot of ways, I'm not prepared to understand the world of a woman, as many of us men are not. But for me, I grew up in a family of seven boys and one sister. And my sister was older. And in our world, in our family, we were rough and tumble type family. I grew up on a farm, and we were about dirt and outdoors and hunting and four-wheeling and tractors and stuff like that. It's things that guys are comfortable with. But for the world, I was not prepared for the understanding of the world of a woman. And as I got married, I understood, and I'm still learning a lot about what it means to be sensitive and what it means to be gentle and what it means to be caring and listen. The world I grew up in, the family I grew up with, we grew up daring each other to step in, little boys daring to step in little cow piles, who could get the dirtiest at bare feet, that kind of stuff. We would we'd take the rough blades of grass and put them in our mouth, see who could get the bloodiest lips type thing, you know, pull them real fast out. We would make our bellies real hard and say, hey, let's see who can knock the other guy out first, you know, punch each other in the stomach, that type of thing. It was not the feminine softness. we would love to make the little Charlie bumps on each other's arm. You take your knuckle, you know, and you see who can make the biggest knuckle on each other's arm with the biggest. Do you ever do that? It's not real fun, but it's crazy. So, for the world of women, I was not prepared for that. And so, one time I was somewhere and I got this little book. It says everything man has learned about women. It's a little book, and I thought, wow, pretty cool. Pick that up, and first page, blank. Second page, blank. Third page, blank. All the pages are blank in there, and I thought, that's really cool. That's really funny. So I got this, and I took it home, and I thought I'd keep it till we're together with my family sometime. My brothers, now we're all married, and I got this out, and all the ladies are there. I thought this is going to be a funny joke, and I pulled this out. Found this little thing. My brothers, I found this great tool for us about the ladies in our lives, and I pulled it out. And we just thought it was the biggest joke. You know, we all were laughing, and the ladies were offended. And really, my wife is really offended at that. And I was like, And she began to tell me how grieved she was that we did that. And I said, really? So today I'm still learning a lot about what it takes to be sensitive and to be understanding and to listen and to care, to enter into the world of women. So we're talking about our daughters. Some of you don't have daughters yet. Some of you, and I hope you will, because the world of women, daughters, is a creative world. It's a wonderful, exciting world. It's an adventuresome world. And I hope that you will each have that opportunity. Here's a picture of my family, the blessings, the treasures that God has given me. This is taken this past summer at Myrtle Beach. But I have four daughters and two sons. My sons came last, so God had me on this adventure of learning to know what women are like. And here's, there are my four daughters. from the ages of 18 to 26. And it's interesting how each of them live up to their name. When we had daughters, we gave them names that had inherent meanings to them. And it's really interesting how each of them has become kind of the defining, has become what their name defines them to be. Her oldest is Clarita. Clarita means shining Christ-like. And her life has been just a symbol of that. She has been the easiest child to have in our home. She has early on exemplified Christ and his life and his light. Her name has stood out to that. Jana, our second born, was born in Central America. She was born in the jungle. And she was born in a time that my wife was very lonely, and we were in a place where there were no other white mothers. The closest white mother was about 4 hours away. So my wife had no contact with other American women. And it was a time of loneliness in her life. And God brought Jana into our life. Her name means a gracious gift and a messenger of love. And she's been that in our home. So it's been wonderful. That's our second daughter. Our third born is Irvina. Irvina is, her name means habitation of God. And a habitation of, an expression of joy. And Irvina is that. She's that bubbly person. Our youngest is Claudia on the left there. She's our intense one. Her name means woman of strength. And she's our intense one. She's very intense. So these are my daughters, and we'll talk about them. I'm going to give you a little exposure into our family today. As I talk about fathers and daughters, I love to talk about them. They have been real blessings to me. And I, you know, the women in our life, my sons and I were talking the other day about, isn't it interesting how God has been able to, throughout history, kind of balance the sexes, you know, about the right amount of women to the right amount of men in the world. What if it would be the improportionate factor of 10% women to 90% men? Be kind of a problem, wouldn't it? God knows how to balance that. Not only for the need for procreation and to fulfill the earth. I see women not only as a 50% part of that which it takes to make another human being, they're really the 70% of what it takes to make us men what we need to be. It's not just a 50-50 thing. But so it's really interesting. God has balanced the world so that we have that dimension of sensitivity and caring, balanced with strength and courage. And this morning I'd like to lift up the status of women, the women in our life, and talk about how we need them and how they bless us. So we have the challenge in our books here. It talks about the challenge of a new pursuit. The world that we live in is changing the face of who a woman is, what girls are all about, what women are all about. And I guess some of us older ones are probably not as in tune with what's happening in the changing world that we live in, but the woman that was portrayed throughout history, the feminine part of women is changing into a blended gender. And I thought this was an interesting article that I just picked up the other week in our newspaper. And this is in the letters to the editor, where a woman was responding to a letter where a father was complaining about the girls being involved in the wrestling in Lampeter, Strasbourg. And so this woman was defending the fact that girls should be allowed or should be permitted to enter into whatever a boy does into their world, because girls should not be viewed as girls, but they should be viewed as contestants and opponents. And I'll just read a few comments here about this mother, what she had to say. In the changing world of who girls are, here she says, I feel compelled to respond to a letter from Alex Trout in the letters to the editor. I noticed that she didn't mention football as one of her contact sports that is segregated. More and more girls are stepping on to the mat to wrestle. There is still not enough interest in our schools to have an all-girl wrestling team, so they are forced to wrestle on the boys' team. Thankfully, Lampeter Strasberg School allows girls to wrestle. My daughter is no longer in the elementary wrestling program, but she participates in the Pioneer Mat Club for 2 years. She practices just as hard as the boys. She gets no special treatment because she's a girl. She has lost every match her first year, except her last one. She's had boys be extra rough because she is a girl. She has never cried over the black eyes or the bruises or the scratches she received during a wrestling match. And she has never had a boy forfeit a match against her. And that's one of the things that the schools are doing, saying. They say if the boy doesn't want to wrestle a girl, he can forfeit the match. The girl automatically wins. So she says here about her daughter, she practices hard. She misses hanging out with her friends and going places that she would like to go. And I agree that wrestling has a lot of contact and positions I wouldn't want her to be in. Nor do I like seeing her in them, but it's the sport that she chooses because she's equal to boys. Your sons need to look at girl wrestlers not as girls, but as opponents. So that's kind of the world that our girls are growing up in, your daughters are growing up in, the world that is changing. Not just in what girls do, but who they become and who women should be. Today, women are in the military. Traditionally, that was a role for men. And I just noted recently that now they are looking to actually put them on submarines in the tight quarters along with men. That's now being processed to move ahead. So the world of who a woman is, the feminine qualities of a woman, the sensitive, gentle, need to be protected, is changing to equality. The challenge of the decline of feminine values. I think that women bring out, as I mentioned, the caring, sensitive, beautiful side of life, and we need to promote that. We need to exalt that. I think women bring out that aspect of beauty and grace in life. But our daughters and our women, our wives, also have that strength and that not just beauty and grace, but the spiritual energy, and they can have the vision of men. In that area, we have certainly no advantage over them. The feminist movement says that, here's one of their quotes that I picked up. It says, a real woman is one who has sex before marriage and a job after marriage. That's the definition of the feminist movement. They envision a world of no rules, no roles, except the roles that they themselves create. So there's no more in the world the view of here's roles that women have, there's roles for men, but it's all blended and it's all one. That's the secular view. The secular view of feminism looks at motherhood as a handicap, and pregnancy as an illness. They talk about that. And so we have the challenge in our times of an absent mom, and the scriptures encourage us to raise up our daughters with a love of children, a love for that which is nurturing and cultivating relationships in our homes. There's a rise of the absent mom in our home. In the year 2000, 65% of mothers in America were now in the workplace. 65%. And I find in my job, I'm in real estate, and I find that in my role, there's very few homes that the mother is in the home. Very few. Outside of the Mennonite conservative community, there is the combined incomes. There's the dual, both are working. And I find that almost all of them, the mother, the wife, the spouse would say she wants to come home someday. That's her goal, to get home. She doesn't want to be working. She wants to come home. She wants to be a mother. She wants to develop that part for which she was created for. But the pressures of our time, of our society, have placed that. So I applaud those kind of motives and motivations where women can go home. But you know, we've created an environment of an economic environment in our times where it's very difficult for a single parent job home place where one person can provide the income in our times because of who the women want to be, what they want to have, what men want to have, what we aspire to become and have and own. So the rise of the absent mom in our world is a challenge. So today, my challenge to myself is, what is the vision that I have for my children? What do I want my daughters? What do you want your daughters to look like at 25? Those of you who have young children, and this is what I would ask myself as my children, my daughters were growing up, and you have to be intentional about this. You have to be thinking ahead. You have to be looking ahead and saying, life isn't always going to be the way it is now. James, those little twins aren't always going to be little. They're going to grow up. There's a call, there's a purpose, there's a destiny on their life. And we as fathers are to help shape those destinies and bring them into the purpose for which they were designed. Women are not only designed just to be homemakers alone. There's great giftings, and many, many women have done wonderful contributions to society. Our girls are involved a lot in ministry, and they challenge me all the time about passion and investment of time and unselfishness and devotion to others. I think that God has given us the children. God has given you the children. He gives you the children, not just so you can shape their lives, just so that you can prepare them for their futures. But God is using them as a chisel in your own life to develop you into the person that he wants you to be. Obviously, God brings them into our life so that we can raise them up. God gives us a little child. God gives us little girls, little boys. And someday, he wants us to present them back to him, a man, a woman. And for our daughters, God is expecting us to present them back to him, a woman of grace, a woman of honor, a woman of design, a woman that is prepared and fitted for life and to be a benefit and to be a contribution to the world and to society. So God is shaping the diamond in our life by the children that he's given us. Some of our daughters are sensitive. Some of them are outspoken. Some of them will point out things in my life very quickly. Others will develop a more remote or removed spirit where they'll be quiet when they're offended. And all those things are ways of God using his chisel on my life to become a better father, become a better person. God does that. Michelangelo, the great sculptor and artist, one day he was chiseling away at a piece of marble, and somebody asked him what he's doing. And Michelangelo said, "I am releasing the angel and entombed in this marble stone." And so as fathers, as parents, what we do, what we are called to do is to release the potential of our daughters, the potential of our children into the shape and the character that God has designed for them. I encourage my daughters to be feminine. I encourage them to exercise traits of femininity. I think they should look like a girl, they should act like a girl, but I think they should also dream big and have high goals. Let nothing keep them back. We need femininity in our world as much as we need masculinity. And here's I asked my daughter if I could read a few of her goals that she has. This is one of my daughters that, and I'll just pick a few. She has, this is my 18-year-old daughter. She has over the years been putting down goals that she has for things that she wants to do. I've always encouraged my daughters to dream big, my children to dream big. Dream so big that unless God is in it, it's impossible to do it. So a girl does not have to have less adventure than a guy. They can have as much or more. So here's some of the things that she wants to accomplish in life, or do in life, or be. I'll just pick out a few here, give you a little idea, a little picture into her life. She says she would like to view guys as brothers and encourage them in their walk with God. She does that pretty good. After she accomplishes some of these, she writes dates behind them, which is pretty neat. She wants to memorize portions of Scripture yearly, give up things that are pulling me away from God, become a lifeguard, plan and lead a canoe trip, read 15,000 pages a year in school, travel internationally yearly, see a shooting star, expand my acting career, dye my hair, become a Mother Teresa to the needy. I'm just picking out a few here. You'll see some of these are really radical and rad. Take EMT classes, read 200 books a year, work and manage a small cafe, make my number one goal to honor God, maintain purity and modesty in my life, be a prayer warrior, pray at the Wailing Wall in Israel, be known as a virtuous woman, sleep on the Great Wall of China, cross a swinging bridge in four continents, go to a circus, professional circus, ride a zebra, go on a blind date, learn to surf, learn to play drums, name a star, run a marathon, stop biting my nails, be a Salvation Army bell ringer, be a Mother Teresa to the needy. Just on and on she goes. Those are just a few little things. So encourage our daughters to dream, to think, to plan, to do, to dare. But encourage them to be feminine. Recently she came to me and she said she'd like to run in a marathon, in one of these big marathons. And I said, well, you know, that's a noble goal to have, but let's talk about that. So we talk about it a bit. And I said, I'm not sure, as a father, I'm not sure that that's the thing that you want to do. I'm not sure that that's the thing that's for you. And that's where we fathers come in sometimes. We talked about it and we decided it's probably not the best thing for her for her to pursue. There's other things, more feminine, more right for her at this time. And so I encourage her to pursue something else. So there's times when we say, go for it. do it. Other times we say, it's probably not the right thing. But encourage our children, our daughters, to dare, to dream, to envision. What dad contributes to his children, to his daughters? We're called to be there for them, to provide the security, the protection, the identity. We're called to speak into their lives, to let them know that we think that they're valuable, special, beautiful, needed. They have something to offer. And someday they will have something to offer to a man and their lives, their love, their purity. A verse in Psalm 144 that I quote over my daughters a lot is that says that our daughters may be as cornerstones. Psalm 144, verse 12, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude and likeness of a palace. It is our, I believe it's the girls, the feminine part of the home that determines the nature of our home, whether our home is a warm, hospitable, caring place. It's the women in our home who define that characteristic. And as you think about the pillars of a palace, it's those things that are seen, those things that are prominent, those things that are supportive. And women are just a great strength. And our daughters should have the qualities that are attractive, that are welcoming, that are speaking through the testimony of strength and grace and beauty and honor. They need to be secure in their identity as women. They should be proud in a good way, glad to be a woman, glad that God has made them a woman. One of my daughters was, for a number of years, she wished she was a boy. She liked to do things that boys do. She was rough and tumble, and she was strong, she was intense. She wished she were a boy. Today, she's very glad that God made her a woman, and she sees ways that she can function well. Every daughter wants to know, am I beautiful? Am I beautiful to you? Every woman wants to know that. That's the feminine need. We as dads need to let them know they are beautiful. They're beautiful to us. It's not to make them proud. It's not to make them arrogant. It's not to make them cocky or flirty. But it's to make them secure in who they are as our daughters. Are you willing to fight for them? Every daughter wants to know, are you willing to fight for me? As fathers, we fight for them. Someday, their man, their husband will fight for them. We need to be there for that. That provides an identity. The basic needs of every human being, and certainly daughters as well, is for identity and destiny. Who am I? Am I lovely to someone? Am I worth fighting for? Am I valuable? Secondly, they want to know their purpose, their calling, their destiny. And we as fathers are to help them walk into that. Make our daughters well-adjusted and secure. I've taken the privilege of annually coming up with some things I like to speak into my daughters' lives and my children's lives and my wife's life, and just some goals that I sense that God is laying on my heart for each of them. Some of them are practical goals, some are spiritual goals, some are just everyday goals, where I see things that they can grow in and develop further. And I'd like to do that annually. It's like the beginning of the year. I like to sit down and say, God, what are you asking me for my children? And like to write it out and give it to them. And they say that this has provided for them a sense of a course, a trajectory for their lives. That's been very valuable and very helpful from year to year. And I haven't done it every year, but I've done it pretty consistently from their childhood. So just a little insight into what I gave one of my daughters. And give you some ideas that you may put together for your families, but some practical goals for my dear daughter. Express excitement, it's for the year 2010. Express your excitement in being feminine. Make deep and lasting new friendships. Grow new outlets for your heart of ministry. Lead someone to Christ. Bring your brother David into your circle of fun and take an adventure trip together. So those are some of the practical things. On the spiritual end of things, on the heart things, here are some goals that I had for her. Gain a deeper understanding in the scriptures, deepening your biblical convictions, enabling you to articulate a clear defense of truth in Christian apologetics. Appreciate and embrace biblical femininity in the context and influence of our inherent roots as Anabaptists. That's one of the goals I have for her. Enhance your spiritual giftings and motivation so that you can, with ease and enjoyment, serve your fellow men. So those were some of the goals that I wrote for her. And they put them in their room, they put them in the Bible, and I see them pull them out, and we like to talk about them from time to time throughout the year. How are you doing? Are you okay with this? And I like to sit down with them when I give them to them out a week or two later, and I say, does this connect with you? Is this okay? How do you feel about this? Do you understand? And this past week we were in Georgia with our oldest daughter, who's married. And I took the opportunity to sit down with her and another daughter who was along and said, I'd like for you to just to talk about some things that are important to you. What are some things that make for healthy relationships between daughters and fathers as you evaluate your growing up years and look at our times together? What has been something that provided stability and anchorage to your life and made for the relationship that we have today? And it was interesting as they shared some things, and it was things that I didn't expect that they would say. Here's a few things I wrote down that they said provide for the security and the stability that they enjoyed and feel is important for their life and has provided a foundation for them today. So we're talking about things that make them secure in their identity as a woman. And here's a few things. They talked about about trying to understand the love language of a woman, of a girl, of a daughter, that I entered into their world trying to understand what they like and how they relate to people, to parents, to siblings. And so in the love languages, and just the importance of affirming words. One of the daughters said affirming words was a really important thing for her. To say, you can do it. The tough things in life, you're going to be okay. And we don't have to say how they're going to do it or in what manner they're going to be able to accomplish the difficult things in their life, but just to be there and say, you're fitted for the task. You can do it. I believe in you. I care about you. I'll be praying for you. Affirming words. I love you. After a tough day, or after any day, women like to talk about their feelings. They like to talk about how they feel about their day. You know, my son, he comes home from a day's work or outside and being involved in things, and I say, how'd it go? And what'd you get done? You know, we talk basic things, and we answer each other in a way that we understand each other, and that's it. When my daughters come home, they don't want to be addressed in that way. What did you get done today? What did you do? They want me to say, how do you feel about your day? What was your day like? Things go well for you today? Are you feeling okay? I want to enter into the world of feeling and emotion and understanding. See, they're the 70% of us. They provide the 70% for us, pulling us into that into that important realm of emotion and feeling and caring and sensitivity. Another point that they said was that made them feel valuable and important was to be able to have any question, no matter how shocking it may be, no matter how difficult the question may be, that they could come and sit down with us as parents and say, here's what I'm struggling with. Here's something I'm not sure about. Here's something in our church I don't understand. I'm not sure if I like that. Here's something in our home that the restrictions you place on it, I just don't like it. I don't understand it. Can we talk about it? Struggles with guys and relationship with girls, when they could sit down and we could listen without rebuke, without accusation, but we could hear them out. That was very important thing for them to understand who they were as women, to give them security. An interesting dimension of what brought security and identity to their lives was the fact that we had consistently a family focus in spiritual values. I was surprised at that would be part of something that would so shape and frame them as women in their security and their identity. The fact that there was a consistent spiritual input into their life daily, and that we would insist on that. Well, today she's grown, has her own home, and she looks at that as a real foundation to her life as a woman and a protection for her. Fathers need to be there for their daughters so that they can easily relate to the opposite sex without wrong motives. I don't know how many of you are exposed to a lot of girls, a lot of public school involvements of the boy-girl relationship. But my daughters work a lot with kids in Honeybrook, and these kids are in school as young as 10, 11, 12. They actually have, they're matched up as boyfriends and girlfriends, and they hang out with each other, and they call each other that at an early age. And as they begin to look at that, why do they crave those relationships? They find that it is because they don't have the parental relationships. They don't have the father in the home. And so they look for relationships that are way premature. And as fathers, we need to provide that masculine dimension of their lives, of love, of affection, of affirmation, of approval, that if we don't give it, they're going to pursue it from another relationship, and they're going to pursue it early in life. Be aware of that. Let's provide that for our daughters. Let's protect them in that way. In the scriptures, there's some really interesting illustrations of daughters who were protected, and on the other hand, those who were unprotected. And if, as we look at the example of Job and his daughters, the Bible tells us that he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And Job invested in these children. He invested in his children's lives. And how do we know that? Well, if we look at the life of Job, he was very prosperous and affluent. His children would live that kind of a lifestyle, and they would go to party. They would party with each other. The sons would call the daughters and says, come on over, we're going to have a party. And they would eat and drink. And the scriptures say that Job, he would go out every day in the days of their feasting. He would rise early in the morning, and he would offer burnt offerings for each one of his children in case they sin against God, in case they have cursed God in their hearts. And so he would do continually for his children. And it provided a sense of security for his children, a sense of protection for them. Of course, those children were all, they all died in the storm. Later on in life, God gave him again 3 more daughters, and the Bible says that they were the fairest of all daughters in the land. As you look at that word fair, it does not mean necessarily that it was fair because they were fair to look upon. It was fair because of the qualities that they had were those of character, qualities of desire and attraction that made them beautiful. I think it was the protection of Job. It was the investment of his love and care into their life. When they would go out, he wouldn't just say, "Hey, have a good time," or "Take care, don't do anything wrong." He would say, "Children, I'm covering you in prayer. I'm surrounding you in love. I believe in you. You're called to represent God. Remember who you are. You're my daughters, and you're daughters of a king." A point here. If a dad is there for his daughters, when they get married, they will often have a fulfilling sex life with their husbands. And we know that's important for us. If you fathers want to provide a great gift to a man someday, treat your daughters with love and respect, with honor. Treat them with value, and they will provide a wonderful gift to someone someday. If the dad is not there, they develop personalities that are insecure and anxious, have difficulty in forming healthy relationships with men. Or they become inappropriately self-assertive, angry, and promiscuous. Is our home a place of peace? Is it a place of refuge? Or are there unresolved conflicts that we need to work on with our children? The Bible has a wonderful verse in Lamentations where Jeremiah was lamenting the state of his country, his nation. He says, "Arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the night watches. Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord for the life of your young children." As dads, we stand in the gap for our children, crying out for the life of them in the beginning of the watches throughout the night, so that they will be healthy and secure in their lives. I have, our daughters have given me a wonderful gift of giving me their hearts, and I have, as an expression of that, each of them has on their own, let's see if I have it here, given me a token of the fact that they've given me their heart. One of my daughters had this made, this little key, had it made by a friend who carved this out. I'm not sure if you can see it or not. But it's a key out of metal. He carved it out of a heart. A heart was about 3 inches. And she kept the heart, gave me the key. They've all done a certain expression of this. Some have big hearts, some have little hearts that have given. It's always, I treasure this. It's an incredible treasure to guard this heart. One of my daughters, she got married, and I had the privilege of giving this little key, not this one, but another one, to give it. Here's a real tiny one. You can't even see it. But they all have gone out on their own. They have found something that would be the expression of what they would like to give to me of their as a token that I would protect their hearts until I transfer it to another. A young man in marriage. And at the wedding for Clarita, as we gave Clarita away, I gave him that heart, and I said, "Here's her heart. She gave me this when she was 13. And now I transfer it to you. Protect it, guard it. It's a key to her heart." Great expressions of honor and love. Okay. What can a dad do? Establish with his wife a clear definition of what it means to be a real woman. I have a video clip. What's a real woman? The power of influence of a woman. And this might be a little out of character, but women have incredible influence. Watch this and see what happens in this. Here's a real woman. Watch it. Watch it. Real woman. She really got that guy's attention and got him all shook up. Women have incredible influence, and they influence us as men. Our daughters influence us. As I mentioned, our children, God gives them to us to shape us and to mold us, to influence us to what we ought to be. A real woman is one who rejects the worldly temptations for significance, and she believes in God's priorities. What do your daughters want to become? Is your wife happy as your wife? Is she happy to be a partner in your vision for life? A real woman is one who nurtures the next generation. You know, motherhood is an incredible calling. And the rewards of faithful children and loving children are something that is in the heart of a woman. Taking a woman out of that role and putting her into the workplace robs her of a great privilege, of great opportunity. It's interesting that from 1960 to 2000, family size in the United States dropped from 4.5 children per family to 2 children per family. In those 35 years, or 60 years, 40 years. However, the house size in the same time, from 1960 to 2000, the house size, the average house size, went from 960 square feet to 2,000 square feet. So what's that tell us? Children dropped from 4.5 per family to 2. House size got higher, got bigger. Is drywall more important than children? Is job and vocation more important? A real woman is one who resists and rejects the temptation for worldly significance. And we should encourage and help our wives to be able to stay home with their children, especially in those critical years of their lives. Support and honor and cheer for true feminine values in your wife and children. Applaud those values that bring you the security and the love and the nurture that you need. Dating your children, dating your daughters, is something that we've done over the years. We've attempted from little childhood to provide a time for each of my children. I attempt to do weekly dates with one of my children. So that means every Friday morning I'm usually somewhere at a coffee shop or a tennis match or a restaurant with one of my children. And we've done that for years. Burton Hand Restaurant, our children have grown up in there. And the waitresses who work there have seen our children from little grow up, and it's just a neat experience to do that. You can do a lot of creative things in dating. For a period of time, my daughters and I, we would play tennis at 6 o'clock every morning and have breakfast together. We did that for a year or season or so. You can hang out at a coffee shop with your daughters. They enjoy that. That you can enter into a world of their interest. And for us men, sometimes it's hard for us to sit down and watch a movie or a video that is interesting for your daughters, but for those of you who have that opportunity, it's a wonderful experience. You may not enjoy it as much, but you're developing a relationship with your daughter that's neat. Canoeing. One of my daughters loves canoe. We did a several-day canoe trip together. They love when you pray over them and pray with them for needs in their life. Several of my daughters and I, we hiked Pikes Peak a couple of years ago. It was an incredible experience to conquer the elements and win that, conquer the top. Encourage and participate in ceremonies that celebrate true femininity. You'll see in your book there's different stages of life that honor the women and their needs. At puberty, we have, in our family, we do what we call a kind of a Jewish complement of the bat mitzvah, as the Jewish celebration of entering womanhood. And we do a celebration of entering womanhood. And we put a lot of time and invest a lot of energy into it. It's kind of like a wedding. And as she becomes a woman, as she gets her monthly cycle, we believe that's an initiation into a womanhood. She's passing from childhood to womanhood, and we celebrate that. And we make a big experience with that. That's when our daughters are called forth into their womanhood. It's a great experience. You can do that you can do those kinds of things through various stages of life. And really, it's an incremental release, I believe, of releasing our daughters into their destinies as we begin to do these special events through different stages of their life. Well, that has given you a little glimpse. Here's my wife and I. We have been privileged to live together now for 26 years, and we've been able to enjoy the blessings of daughters who teach us probably as much as we teach them. The adventure of life continues, and I encourage you men to just pour your hearts into who God has called you to be as fathers to daughters. And if you don't have any, like I said, I hope that God gives you them so that you can maintain that sensitive and soft side of your life.